irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 16th. We're back with you. Hi, Kelsey.
Hey.
We thought we were going to have a guest in here waiting for us this morning, but no such luck, folks. This is the second time in 2 weeks that we've been stood up by a guest, and I'm really getting irritated with this, you know?
Yes.
What do you think, Kelsey?
I agree.
You know, it's like, don't tell me that they didn't put this on their calendar, you know? So the least you can do is let us know you can't make it or whatever, you know?
Yes, it's a bizarre concept to me because, you know, if I'm not going to make a meeting, the least you can do is you know, contact them and say, I'm not going to be able to make it in. So, yes, this is kind of crazy and unprofessional and rude. And so,
yeah,
sorry, guys, we're a little frustrated this morning.
Yeah, we are, you know, because, I mean, and usually I don't complain about the guests, you know, I don't really, you know, discuss it on the air and stuff. Sometimes I'll just say they're not here. But I never, you know, because you never know what the reason could be. It could be an innocent reason.
Right. Things come up. But surely, I mean, somebody can.
Yeah. At least let us know, right?
You would think so.
Because these are the people, you have to understand, these people come to us wanting to be on the show.
Right. It's not like we're soliciting them.
Right. And, you know, thankfully, you know, we can run a show together. We can talk to each other and make an entertaining show. But some hosts here, if you're alone and your guest is not showing up, you don't have a show, you know, because you base the whole show around the guest. And I see that all the time. And it's so, so rude. Like you said, I don't care if things come up, whatever, at least give an advance notice. You don't call like an hour before you're supposed to go on the air, you know. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, but to me, it would be a big deal if I was invited to a radio station to be on a show.
Right.
You know, I would make sure that my schedule is open and that I can be there and I'll be there on time. And all that stuff. But I guess many people don't think that way.
I guess not.
You know? But I have to conclude that if you can't respect yourself, you can't respect other people. And I think that's pretty much what it is. If I respected myself, I would not stand somebody up. You know,
just,
it doesn't work like that. So, so you get all kinds of people in the world, you know, you just have to understand.
That's true.
But of course, if they ask to reschedule, I let them reschedule because I'm that way, you know.
Right. Yes, yes.
I try not to punish people, you know. Sometimes I'll try to punish someone, but sometimes I won't, you know.
Forgiveness is good. Definitely. We have lots to talk about today, though. We got lots of fuel last night, or at least I did.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Did you watch the debate last night?
I did. Yeah. I did. And, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a religious debate watcher.
Right.
But my little sister, Brooke, she's a student at the University of Texas at Austin, as I've mentioned, my alma mater. And they had, I'm not exactly sure the details, I'd have to ask her, but they had this little truck, you know, going around to multiple universities, because I know that the debate was sponsored by Facebook last night.
Oh, it was?
And, yes. And it was held in Vegas.
You're right.
And so they had this little, you know, mobile truck going around. And if you wanted to ask a question, then you could, like, to the candidate.
Yeah, like through Skype or something, right?
Right.
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, she did one of those. And she asked this great question about... She wasn't on, but she could have been on.
Okay, yeah, so they recorded her, right?
They did, yes.
I see.
And so I was like, that's primarily the reason I was watching, but because I wanted to see if she came on. I was like, come on, pick Brooke, vote for Brooke. But she asked a great question. She talked about businesses moving overseas and asked the candidates what they would do to keep corporations on American soil, basically. Right. So it was a good question, and I was hoping it would get aired. It didn't, but someone from UT Austin did get aired, so that was exciting.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Because there were only like two or three, right?
Right. It was there were so few.
So yeah, what are the chances that they would have been from Austin?
Right. I mean, I'm sure very slim. I don't know how many universities participated in this, but I'm sure it was quite a few. I know I saw one from Georgia and one from Texas, and I'm not sure what the other one, where the other one was from, or other, however many else there were. But anyways, yeah, it was interesting. I love that Trump wants to shut down the internet. That, you know what? It's almost a comedy show to me.
Yeah, I know.
And he did say one thing that I agreed with, that we should have taken the oil.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Right, right. Yeah. I did agree with that and spare all the lives lost in vain. But, you know, I just thought the thing about the internet is just so funny and so basic, and oh my goodness.
Yeah,
but I love how they cut to a split screen every time somebody's asked about Trump or something, because his faces are priceless.
Right?
Absolutely priceless.
I know. And people make videos of his faces on Facebook and post them on Facebook, you know.
It's hilarious.
Of all his faces. I know. He's totally different from everybody else, that's for sure, you know. He seemed a little more... a little calmer last night, you know, a little more in line, and didn't try to insult a lot. But still, he really insults Jeb Bush. You know, he can't stand him.
I know, which is really, really funny.
So that's funny. And Jeb Bush stands no chance at all. I mean, he's just like so behind. And he doesn't really stand out with anything.
I mean, it's almost like they're school children, schoolboys fighting on the playground.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, who has 3% and who has, you know, 40-something percent? Like, oh, come on. Like,
I know.
We're not in the boys' locker room. Like,
yeah, but that's how Trump behaves, you know.
I know.
He says, yeah, if you attack me, I'll attack you twice as hard. It's like, this is childish behavior, I think, you know.
Totally.
Yeah, you don't do that when you're an adult, you know. You try to be a little more mature in your behavior.
We saw yesterday's guest friend, Mr. Carson, on the debate. Yeah,
that's true. Yesterday, we had a guest who had written a book, and the foreword of the book was written by Ben Carson.
So yes, that was pretty cool.
And that was actually like a year ago before he came on the scene, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to know when candidates are going to start dropping out. I feel like it's about time.
Yeah, I know. I know. Some of them should, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, they all try to stay in the limelight as long as they have money, you know.
What
do they care? Most of it is not their money anyway.
What do they care? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. If I have supporters, I'll stay, you know.
Right.
But then then they'll start dropping after the caucuses in Iowa in February or March. I think, I'm pretty sure it's February. And then we'll see. Yeah, we'll actually start seeing the real numbers, you know, not just the polls.
Right.
So that will be interesting. The emerging, actually, from the debate, I think definitely Cruz and Rubio got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And because they had a lot to say, you know, and I...
What did you think about Ron Paul?
Rand Paul, Ron is his father. He's Rand Paul.
Rand
Paul. No, that's okay. I mean, I made that mistake too. What do I think about him? I think he's totally like, I don't know, a little strange maybe. But yeah, he's not going to make it. He's too out there, I think, you know?
Too out there, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And... yeah, I mean, it's a fact. Not many people follow him, you know. I mean, he is a politician and everything, and he's got some interesting things to say, don't get me wrong. But I think overall, he doesn't really have a chance.
Yeah, Rubio and Cruz were the front runners,
They seem to be really catching up to Trump. And they really, you know, they're saying that they're vying to take the conservative movement into a new generation. And definitely these two, you know, they're the youngest probably. And I think they're positioned to do that. If I had to choose between the two, I'd definitely go with Rubio.
He is quite young, isn't
right?
he?
Right? Yeah, he's in his 40s, though, but he looks 20.
He looks even younger. He looks like he's in his 30s, definitely.
Yeah, he looks like a kid.
Yeah.
I know, and that might be a problem for him. I don't know. But at the same time, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, so he's not that young. I mean, he's in his 40s, but...
He's a senator, too, you know, so it's not like he's out of nowhere.
Right.
But I think he had some great answers there. And, you know, one thing that Cruz brought up is the fact that we should not remove Assad in Syria, because when we removed Saddam and then Gaddafi and stuff, things turned worse. And it's funny because I've said that for a long time. I said in the Middle East with Arab countries, I think they need dictators, because when you think about it, while they had dictators, there were no problems. You know, I mean, okay, so Saddam was hurting his own people and killing and stuff, which is true. And but it's not our job to go and fix the whole world either.
Well, I actually agree with that. I mean, I think getting involved in a civil war is just kind of a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
These people have been fighting for 1,400 years.
Yeah.
I mean, how are we going to go in there and just straighten everything out and make everybody friendly neighbors?
No, it's not going to happen, you know, and people need to understand that. And nobody knows that better than the Israelis, you know. And I grew up with that, knowing that Arabs always wanted to kill us, you know. So, but that's beside the point. I think
my friend made a joke the other day. It's kind of politically incorrect, but he said the only thing an Arab hates more than an Israeli is a woman. Which is a funny joke, but it's actually a very serious issue.
Yeah, it is. It's very serious. And, you know, and this whole thing with Saudi Arabia allowing women to vote for the first time, it's a farce, you know. I mean, what is it? Like, they selected a couple of women out of thousands, like 2,000 men or something, that were running for offices and things. So, and still a woman can't go out of the house without a man and all that stuff.
It's crazy.
But you see, I got to tell you something. I'm convinced they don't hate women at all. I mean, any normal male would be attracted to a woman. And it also shows you, I mean, if you leave a man with a woman somewhere out there, he's going to rape her, you know? I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, I mean, you know, that in that situation where people are denied their basic rights to have sex, you know? And so it's bullshit, you know? I mean, the thing is, they want women as much as anybody else. It's just that the religion does everything it can to keep them away from women, you know? I mean, why do they cover up all the women? Is it because they feel they can't control themselves when they see some flesh, you know?
Right. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It's like these rules in a religion are made to limit what people do, you know, to sort of civilize people.
Right.
And for the most part,
it ends up having the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Right. Because, I mean, you can't, like, take away the basic needs a person has and hope that they're going to be okay with that.
Right.
You know, I mean, these are basic needs.
But I don't see how they can't see that. They can't look at other countries and see that how they run theirs is flawed in so many ways. Not that we're perfect.
Exactly.
But, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like, the legal age to marry a woman off is 9.
Yeah, right? I mean, what's that about?
That's not a religious country that wants peace. That's a country of pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of the things that they do. But the religion makes them that way. I mean, when you follow that religion, that's what you have to do, you know. And it's totally in favor of males, totally. And, you know, some religions, you know, even in Judaism, women are not considered as important as men. But in everyday life, and people that are not really religious, that doesn't happen at all. I mean, you know, you go in Israel or something, or anywhere in the world where you see Jewish people and stuff, women are treated equally.
Right.
You know, for the most part, or as equally as we do treat them here, you know? I mean, there are like gaps in the pay and things like that, you know? There still are. But, I mean, in Israel, even, you know, women go to the army and stuff. So they try to keep it as equal as possible. But in some religions, like Islam, it's totally degrading women. It treats them as objects and as property.
Right. You know?
And it's amazing the things that they write there about what Muslims can do to women when they capture them in war or something, when they're not like Muslim. Mm-hmm. And it's mind-boggling to see some of these things, you know, and it's in right in their Quran, you know, wow. Right in their Bible. So, yeah. So I mean, and the reason I'm saying this is because you're absolutely right. We're never going to solve these problems because they're fundamental. You know, they're in their DNA.
Right, and it's so interesting too, the whole equality issue, because prior to going to college, I had no idea that that was even an issue in the world.
Really? Yeah.
Which is a bit embarrassing, I guess. Maybe a little sheltered because, you know, I grew up in a small town in Texas. But my mom and dad in our household, I mean, if anything, it was the other way around.
Really?
Oh,
your mom
yeah.
was the boss?
Oh, yeah. My dad's like, oh, ask your mom, ask your mom. And I saw that all the time
Whoa.
In Texas.
Yeah.
In the South. And, you know, it's... Women give life. Like, okay, you want to suppress women? Like, you won't have any children. That's fine. You know? Like, okay. It's just bizarre to me. So when I got into college and actually out into the real world, LA was quite eye-opening because
yeah.
the culture is so much different.
Right.
And it's such a melting pot that it was just such a revelation because I didn't even know that women weren't equal. If anything, I thought that they were more powerful.
Well...
So,
and they are in many ways. It's just that,
right.
you know, men are the ones that will lower their value, so to speak. And because the world is generally been run by men.
Right.
You know, and you always have a woman here and there, and they're usually very good.
Right.
But it doesn't happen that often, you know. So... You go into the real world and you realize, hey, things are not quite the same, you know.
Right.
Right. But, you know what, at the same time, we're not equals in many ways, you know, because women require like, or some of them do, require like maternity leave and things like that and paid maternity leaves. And men do not.
Well, now they are offering paternity
right.
leave.
I know. So, and that's a good thing, you know. I mean, and that has nothing to do with politically correct. I think this has to do with livelihood of people, you know. And I don't see any basis at all to deny women the pay that men get. You know, I mean, for doing the same kind of work.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, equal work, equal pay. There's absolutely no reason why.
Right, exactly.
That shouldn't be the case.
And people that don't work don't get paid, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's very simple, right? You want money, go to work.
Yeah.
I agree. And there's a lot of debates going on about, you know, education in this country, like higher education. And I guess the one of the Supreme Court justices spoke about something how black students should not be put in schools that are like too high level for them or something. Okay, he said it in a way that sounded very racist. But
derogatory.
The thing is, right, but what they found is when with affirmative action, you know, they have to take a certain quota of minorities and let them into college, whether they qualify or not. So what happens is they're saying, based on studies, that when you put people that are in a college, in an environment where they don't thrive, then they're not going to do very well. You know, so you're sort of like putting someone at a level that they can't. Now, I'm not saying that, obviously, not all blacks and probably not even most blacks are like that. But what I'm saying is affirmative action calls for people to admit students that may not necessarily be qualified
right.
otherwise.
I do not agree with affirmative action. That's kind of a soapbox of mine, the whole education system in general.
Right.
Because, you know, we say, we preach, don't be racist, but affirmative action is racist.
Is racist, exactly.
It's looking at the color of somebody's skin or their ethnicity or, you know, whatever, and making a judgment call based upon that.
Exactly, and so, not based on your qualifications.
Right. So yeah. I don't agree with that. And furthermore, what always amazed me, and a great example I always use, is horses, right? Because I grew up around horses.
Right.
And
this rodeo
I,
here.
I know. And, you know, we would always say, a mule is not going to win the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
But a mule is going to pull a cart better than a horse, right?
Right.
So basically what I mean by that is that everybody has their strengths.
Right.
So why are we brought up K through 12 with this competitive, you know, make great grades and everything and go to college? Some people aren't meant to go to college.
Right.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Why are they made to feel lesser
right.
than somebody else? I made great grades. Of course I should have gone to college.
Yeah.
But not everybody should.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to win a marathon, you know? And I remember, for example, it's ironic because I'm in the fitness business now, but speed wasn't really my thing. And I remember in athletics, they would say, okay, you have to run a 6.5 minute mile. Well, that's bizarre to hold everybody to the same standards.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just not okay. And, you know, someone's going to, I'm going to stress over this because it's just not physically possible for me.
Right.
And someone else is going to run it in 5 minutes, no problem.
Right.
Well, it's the same with academia.
Yeah.
So that is insane. And I think that we need to take a different approach. And then this whole everything will work itself out as far as affirmative action and everything. Because the people who aren't, quote unquote, destined for college, who don't have that desire, don't really want to go,
right.
are going to be much better off contributing to society in some way right out of high school.
Right. Yeah, and it's not a racist thing not to accept someone to the school. You know, I mean, I would like to go to Ivy League schools, but I don't know that I would or that I would be admitted. You know, I never try to apply there, but I don't know that I'd be admitted. And I would never see this as a racist thing. I would say, okay, so I'm not up to their standards.
Right.
You know, but when you do it with other races, it starts becoming a problem and everybody starts pointing fingers and everything. And you know what? You brought a point that's very important, I think, about affirmative action being racist. I think there's a lot of racism coming from the minority groups towards whites or whatever. And, you know, sometimes I think, well, why is that? Why are you so preoccupied with your race? And you know what? I'm also thinking, well, maybe when you're black, it's thrown in your face all the time. Maybe you just, it's part of your life to think about the race because you're being discriminated against or whatever. But I also look at all the black people that have thrived and have made it. You know, I mean, we've got a black president. We've got another candidate running for president now who are black. And it's totally fine. And it's acceptable.
Of course.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And you have blacks, I think, dominating sports. You know,
of course.
I mean, they're everywhere. And they're because they're good athletes for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says anything racist about that.
Right, like, let's make an affirmative action for football.
Right.
I mean, come on. No one even thinks to do that.
Yeah. I know. So there you go. You know, I think the best way to go is to totally stop thinking about race, period, on all sides. I mean, I know that I run into all kinds of people every day and meet new people and stuff like that. I never even noticed their skin color.
I don't,
you know,
either.
I mean, I don't. I don't think about, I'm talking to a black person right now.
No, not at all.
Right?
I don't either.
So I don't know what the problem is. Why is there so much antagonism and such a gap between black and white in this country? I mean, you know, I totally accept that some of these police actions were not good, and I'm not denying there's racism in this country. I'm just saying that somehow I think it's the people, not the leaders, but the people that need to start thinking in different ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as certain groups view themselves as victims or less than, then that's the way they're going to be treated.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta like, you gotta fight for what you have. I think the civil rights movement has done a lot for this country, and you know, and it's not gonna happen by accusations and finger pointing and stuff. It's gonna have to happen by coming together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's time, you know. I mean, come on, this country is over 200 years old, and we're still fighting over these things.
I know.
And another thing is that you'll have young people blaming, like, let's say, whites, and there was slavery and all this, but yeah, I wasn't there, you know, I wasn't part of that. So why would you be, you know?
Right.
Why would you be angry with me?
Guilt by association.
Yeah, you know, it's like what my great ancestors did. And, you know, I mean, my ancestors weren't even from this country.
Right.
You know, so why lump me up with everybody else and then just say, oh, well, you guys made us into slaves, you know. So there's a lot of painful history there, and there's no denying, you know. I mean, I think blacks have gone through a lot of pain, a lot of agony, a lot of difficult times, but today I choose to look at the ones that are successful, that have risen above that and said, you know what, I'm a human being first of all, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna do it, and if it's harder for me than for a white person, then so be it, you know, but I'll do whatever it takes.
Right.
And these are the winners, you know, and we have a lot of them. So that's what I have to say about that. We need to look at the people that are actually accomplishing things and learn from them rather than be caught up in all this hatred and this anger and stuff. You know,
right,
that's taking us nowhere. I mean, you know. So that's that. Yeah. So I don't think the Supreme Court justice, which one was it? I can't remember. Scalia? No. I don't remember who it was, but one of them, I think basically that's what he was trying to do, but he was being attacked and everything. People are calling for him to resign and all that stuff. So much is happening in politics these days, you know.
I know.
It's definitely not boring, right?
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes, that's for sure.
Yeah. So Donald Trump says he has no plans to leave the GOP, so he's staying put for a while, but we'll see. That's just now. We'll see what happens when the pressure starts.
Oh, I don't think he'll leave.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll leave. You know, I mean, just his personality. I don't know him, but just from what I can tell, I think that, you know, he's very persistent, determined. So
yeah. No, I'm not saying he's going to quit running, but he would, because there's been talk of him leaving the party and creating an independent party.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, he would not just leave. There's no,
no
way.
No, I don't think so.
He's leading, you know, and that's what he wants.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility, I guess, but he says no.
Yeah.
He's here to stay with the Republicans. All right.
Yeah. So, so that was the debate, and they didn't stop playing it over and over and over last night on TV.
Did you watch the commentator discussion after?
Some of it, yeah.
I missed that. I didn't get to see it.
I know. I'd probably catch a lot of it in the newspaper today. But the there was some booing and stuff going on.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Yeah. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, there's always that stuff. But, you know, if you went based on the applause, I really think Rubio was winning there. I mean, he had a lot of people applauding for him and supporting him and stuff, you know. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean, I'm feeling better now because I think it's going to boil down to Cruz and Rubio.
I think so, too.
You know, I hope so. And so either one of them, I think I would go with right now.
They'd be fine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yesterday, for those of you who don't know, the L.A. school district closed down all the schools.
Yes, it was a big, all the buzz.
Yeah.
Big
and,
news.
And after we left here, there's a school across the street from us. There were, like, literally more than 100 cars coming to pick up their kids all at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
And this created like a total stressful day for everybody. And now people are questioning, was it a good decision to close down the school? Because it left, I'm sure it left a trauma on a lot of kids that don't understand what's going on?
I don't know. I think the kids were like, woohoo, no school.
Yeah, like snow day, right?
Snow day, yeah. Exactly. And it's so funny because New York took it totally different than L.A.
Right.
L.A. shut everything down and New York was like, please.
Right. And they're saying it's because of San Bernardino, but you know what? New York had 9/11 too.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I mean, but when you put yourself in the shoes of the superintendent, the school superintendent, you go, well, do I want to really risk the students, you know?
Yeah.
Do I want to risk that something's going to happen?
To me, better safe than sorry.
Exactly, you know, so there's always going to be critics. Always people are going to say this and say that. But
how could you live with yourself if, I mean, if even if you didn't do it, but you didn't shut it down and something happened,
right,
you know?
Right, right. But at the same time, they're saying he did that without consulting with the authorities, with the police department and stuff. So we need to find out a little more about this story and find out exactly what happened. But I think he at least should have consulted with the federal government, with the local government.
I agree,
something. So we'll see. I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine one person made that decision, but at least he was in charge of it. Yeah.
I mean, could be, but doubtful. Yeah.
So they're saying that LA overreacted. I don't know. I mean, that's 700,000 students, 45,000 teachers, and 38,000 staff members.
Mm-hmm.
We're the second largest public school district or school system. Yeah, and this happened like in the morning, you know, after people already took their kids to school.
Then they had to come right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why there's so many people here at 11 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
No, terrible, mass hysteria.
I know, and it's pathetic that we've come to that point, you know?
Yes, but thank goodness happened. I mean, all in all, everything's good at the end of the day because everyone's safe. But, yes, it's very unnecessary trauma.
Right. But yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, though, that we live in the shadow of terrorism.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't live a normal life, you know?
Yes.
So welcome to the world, man.
That's really sad. And that was a massive topic last night in the debate because it's so pressing and it's so pertinent to what's going on right now.
Right. And you see, and that's the thing, man. I mean, you know, going back to Israel and everything, who has had to deal with exactly the same thing for years, for decades, people always attack Israel for defending itself. And here we are talking about defending ourselves all the time. And anything goes, everything goes. We don't have to answer to anybody. And Israelis live under the shadow of terror every day. Do you know that still, like, every day now, there's stabbings and shootings and stuff there by individuals, not by the Hamas group or any other terror group. These are, like, individuals that have decided they're going to go out there and kill people. Mm. So imagine you going out to sit in the cafe or something, and you get attacked. You go to the mall. You can't feel safe. And that's life there, and we're only discovering that now, you know. But maybe this will generate a little more sympathy for other places too.
And, you know, the whole recruitment process for these terror groups, you know, we know they're doing it via the internet primarily, which was what brought up the idea of shutting down the internet, which is pretty preposterous. But that is so perplexing to me because I know there are young people who are lost and don't know what to do and everything.
Yeah, they look for meaning in their life.
What could you possibly tell somebody that would make them go into this? Like someone with no affiliation.
Right.
Like middle America, you know, young girl.
Right.
You see them going into joining ISIS. I am very curious as to what they say and what they promise.
Right.
That could make somebody jump ship like that because I think it would have to be pretty powerful or maybe people are just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, people are impressed with their stuff. And also remember that even when they recruit people from outside, it's usually Muslims, you know. So it's not
usually,
like,
but I've seen some not, which is what's so amazing to me.
Really?
Yes.
So, okay. Because I've seen most of them I've seen have had Muslim names, you know.
I understand that.
It's not like you see a white guy going there. They wouldn't be accepted anyway.
I've seen like young white girls.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's pictures of them everywhere, like with like big machine guns and everything. I mean, it's not a massive amount of people, don't get me wrong. But
some are looking for that,
still,
But that just shows you that a lot of people are desperate. They're probably very lonely. They have no meaning, like you said. They're downtrodden, you know, despondent, whatever their problem is. And they find a meaning in this. Somehow, hey, I can belong to this group.
Right.
I can fight. I can carry a gun.
I mean,
and
I guess,
kill people.
You know, same reason people join gangs, I guess.
Right,
same,
exactly.
Same idea.
Yeah, sort of a kind of an affiliation. And they get radicalized. That's what I'm saying. I mean, because they hear all these things about how terrible America is and the West, and they start subscribing to it.
Right.
You know, so then they become active and they want to just kill everybody, you know, either convert or die. That's pretty much their way.
Right. And I remember one of the questions last night was about whether or not suspicious people should be monitored via Facebook and whatnot. And of course, why not? That's my answer. I'm just blown away by the idea that they wouldn't be monitored. I mean, who doesn't look at your Facebook? Your mom looks at your Facebook.
Right, exactly.
Every boss looks at, prospective, you know, boss looks at your Facebook.
Right.
Why wouldn't the federal government, if they think that people are going to be in danger?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Same with phone lines, too.
Right, because the San Bernardino attackers declared publicly via Facebook that they were going to do that. I don't think they said they were going to kill people, but they made, like, public declarations to ISIS and radical claims and stuff. So I don't, you know, I think that it should just be monitored.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, profiling during war is a necessary thing.
It is. And, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, what does it matter?
Exactly.
Why do you care?
Yeah, I mean, you want to check my phone records? Fine.
I feel like that, too.
Yeah, if it's
going to
make me feel safe.
I know.
You know?
It's like relationships, right?
Right.
Like, your husband walks in and is like, who are you talking to? And you're like, my friend, here, take a look. If you're not doing anything wrong, look all you want.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a point Marco Rubio brought up last night. He says, if something happened and we hadn't checked anything, backgrounds and stuff, and then something happened, how would we feel knowing that we could have prevented this, but we didn't?
Right.
You know?
I understand, you know, people want privacy and everything, but to a point, I don't know, put yourself in the family of a victim situation. Think about your mom being killed, your sister being killed. Trust me, you'll be in favor of profiling.
Yeah, yeah. And people have to understand we are at war, you know, and some people are forgetting that, you know. The same thing with the, you know, vetting the refugees and stuff like that. You know, we're at a time of war. This is not the ideal time to take in refugees from lands where people could infiltrate us, you know. And, you know, nobody's saying these are bad people, but you know, they say that extreme times require extreme measures, you know, and so
yeah.
We are definitely at extreme times now.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. So if you had a kid going to school in L.A., you probably had to pick them up yesterday early.
And they got to have a day off.
Yeah.
on the bright side.
I know. In Massachusetts, I guess this teen was found guilty of murdering his math teacher. I don't know if you remember that. That was back in 2013. I think I remember that. So he apparently raped her and then killed her with a box cutter, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. So first degree murder. I mean, there's no question about it. This was planned. He's now 16. The teacher was 24 at the time.
Oh, gosh.
And he did this in the bathroom of the high school that he was going to. Yeah.
Young girl. And, I mean, she's a child herself, basically.
I know, you know. I mean, and teaching like 16 is high school already, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a freshman in high school. And to be killed by your student, you know. And they're saying he had no emotion when the sentence was read.
Was there a motive?
I don't know what his motive. I'm sure they found one, but I don't know that. I read what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really sad.
They're saying something about he responded. Oh, okay, there we go. I guess his His defense attorney is saying he responded to voices and hallucinations at the time of Richard's killing.
No.
So when he followed her into the bathroom, he was not himself.
Convenient time not to be yourself
he didn't
when
choose,
you kill someone.
Yeah, he didn't choose to do this. Well, apparently there is some mental illness there.
No, I mean, there are. I'm not saying there's not.
But yeah, but you don't forgive something like this. This is terrible. It's a terrible thing to do.
It is.
You know, you take a life, and it's not only that, but the family. You know, everybody that's around you.
It affects so many people.
Yeah.
And you know, you never get over it.
No.
Losing somebody so untimely like that and so young.
Exactly, and especially if it's your child. You never get over that.
Yeah.
You know? And it destroys people. And you know what? Even when if there's just rape with no death or molestation or things like this, you're killing the soul of the person.
Right.
Right? I mean, they're never going to get over it.
Right.
You know, such violation of
heal,
a person's...
They can heal, but they're never going to be the same.
Right, right. And that's terrible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent people getting attacked by crazy men. Crazy men. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Women don't do this shit.
Not as often. Not as often. Although I am a huge fan of watching Snapped.
Have you seen?
Oh my gosh, I love crime shows like Investigation Discovery Network.
Uh-huh.
I'm their biggest fan.
Really?
Oh, I watch them every night. Yes.
So what's Snapped about?
It's about women who snap, basically.
Really?
Yes, and it's wives with knives. I mean, some of the stuff is just so funny. And you know, the narrators have these really, like, great voices, and they're like...
Yeah, but it's a serious show, right?
It is, yeah. It's like, you know...
Yeah, not a comedy or anything.
No, it's like a reenactment.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, you know, I love watching 48 Hours and Dateline and all of those mystery shows. I love a good mystery.
That's true. Those are cool. And finally, the best places to live in the world.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah.
Do tell.
Norway's number one, and they're saying it has been for many years.
Really?
Yeah. So I guess they did the study covering 188 countries. And
why? They have the highest quality of life? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like where it would be best to live, I guess.
Sure.
So... but I guess the places that are most conducive to human development.
Oh.
All right. So whatever that is, whatever that means. But I guess, you know, dollars per capita and,
sure.
and things like that, you know. So let's see. So Norway is number one.
Okay.
And I think most Scandinavian countries are on top. Yeah. Actually, you can see that Denmark is number four.
Uh-huh.
So, Northwest Europe definitely seems to be the place. So we have Norway, number two is Australia.
Oh.
Which a lot of people do speak highly of.
Love the Aussies.
Yeah, yes. I've yet to be there. But I'd like to go. That's one of the places I haven't been that I'd love
I've
to travel to.
I've never been either.
You know? The people are amazing, like you said. You know, I mean, Australian people are amazing. Switzerland is number three.
Okay.
Denmark, number four. Netherlands, number five. Then Germany, Ireland. The United States comes in at number eight.
Oh.
Canada, number nine. And New Zealand, number 10.
Okay.
So you want to know what the bottom line
is? I do. I was just going to ask,
okay.
actually.
Actually, you know what is amazing is Israel is number 18 here. It's in the top 20. But you know
you would
what?
Think it'd be lower, huh?
Well, but that's because we're thinking of all the terror and everything there. But you got to remember something. Israel has had such great achievements. Like, for example, other than American companies, Israel has the most companies on the NASDAQ, for example.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of things were invented there, like Windows, Microsoft Windows, and Intel.
Sure.
Chips. Breakthroughs in medicine and everything. So a very cultured, productive country, definitely, mm-hmm. even if I do say so myself. So there's definitely quality of life there, but of course, all the security problems put it a lot lower than that. But yeah, people do make a decent living there and everything, and...
Interesting. What is the bottom?
The bottom. Good question.
Yes.
They're not showing that, actually.
Oh, of course.
But they are saying here, actually, the bottom five are, as you'd expect, African countries.
Sure, of course.
Niger, Central African Republic, Eritrea, Chad, and Burundi, whatever that is.
Okay.
But yeah, that's where those are godforsaken places.
Right.
We have a call. Somebody's been trying to call. So let's take that real quick before we leave. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hello. You with us?
Yeah. Hello. Hello,
Steve.
Sam.
Steve. It's St. Louis Steve.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
You calling to say hi to Kelsey and welcome her to the show?
Yeah, I'm wondering who this Kelsey is.
Well, you haven't been listening then. You got to listen.
Well, I've been away, and I thought for some reason I tune in and I see a different website.
Oh.
You got a different kind of look on your LA Talk Radio, and then I see this beautiful Kelsey here standing with you, and I'm going, what's going on? Did I miss something?
You did miss a lot, man. I mean,
how long has Kelsey been with you in the morning?
This is the second week.
Yeah.
And,
okay, well, that's not been too long.
No, not too long, but the website's been up for a month already, so you haven't checked it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Steve, you got to follow
us. I've been really busy with some new programming at the Lumsel Radio that I work, so nothing against you. And there's some other stuff happening here in St. Louis that's got me pulled away, but
I'm sure.
I don't know, for some reason I thought I'd dial you up. I hear you talking about all these countries and everything. Did they say anything about Austria?
Austria? No, not really. It's probably somewhere in the middle, you know.
Oh, that's like my number one place to go. I want
to
go
really?
There.
Wow. I've never been there.
Sounds fascinating. They say it's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been there. I went on a skiing trip there before.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool. And then we stayed in Innsbruck.
Yeah.
And they had a little bar type cafe down the street from where the hotel is, and when I hung out there, a bunch of the local people, they just loved to hear me talk. It was like, it's the first time I ever really had somebody say, go talk more, love to hear you talk. I was like,
Listen, Steve, I got to cut you off because we're running late. But thank you for calling.
Well, I'm listening more because I want to find out about what's Kelsey. She's got a good voice.
Yeah, she's great.
Thank you.
She's great. And Steve, so take care. Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye, you too.
Bye, Steve.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, well, folks, we have absolutely no time left. Stay tuned for other shows on the station all day. And Kelsey, thank you as always.
Yes.
Very fun show, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Bye, you guys.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Kelsey, only on LA Talk Radio.